Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. We're back.
How have you been? I know, I feel like we haven't done this in forever.
About a month. Well, we've done episodes, like, here.
That's why I'm so thrown off, is because we haven't done a regular, like, Jocelyn and Ryan on a Friday night episode, because you've been working like crazy.
Working that well last weekend was not work, it was more for fun, but
I totally thought it was work. I'm pretty sure you told me it was work, so I gave you a pass on not being on the show, and then you were like, oh no, I was playing games with my friends. And I was like, dick.
Oh, I'm pretty sure, like I do every time we have to change anything, or if I tell you anything, I say exactly what I'm doing, and then
I forget.
Yeah, the day of the show, it's like, so show, right? No, I'm in Toronto, like, dealing with boaters.
Like I told you 10 weeks ago.
But that's fine. And then I think I said after the third week, it's like, did you ever sort out that calendar app that we were talking about?
Yeah, I need to organize all of the things a whole lot better, because I just am finding that I suck at life. I have, like, three different things that I'm doing tomorrow, and I actually did put them in my calendar, and I'm just perfect. Like, I feel so organized. I'm like, I should do this more often.
Well, you have an iPhone, right?
I do. Yeah.
I would suggest...
I hate the generic calendar, though, so I bought a calendar app, but now I have two calendars, and that's just too confusing.
So my suggestion, a little bit of tech, this has nothing to do with gaming, but it will improve the show if we could sort this out.
Going forward.
It's called Fantastical. I'm looking it up right now because I'm pretty sure it's on sale. It just says open, so that doesn't help anybody, including Jocelyn. There we go. 60% off sale right now. It's called Fantastical 2, and it's a great app. It integrates with your built-in calendar. It can sync Google Calendar as well if you're into that.
See,
nonsense.
And that's what it told me that it did, but then I just felt like I had way too many calendars all over the place, and I couldn't remember what was syncing with what and where I was putting things, and then my work calendar isn't even in there, so it's just...
Oh, is your work calendar like an Outlook?
Yes.
I can't help you there. that's Microsoft madness right there. Yeah. I don't know anything. But no, Fantastical is a fantastic app, and you should get it. It's on sale.
I may give it a shot. We'll see. But we should get into the gaming, because we actually have a lot to talk about tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I was upset because I thought I hadn't played anything. And then I started typing things in the doc, and I was like, oh, I've actually, you know, I've done some stuff. And I've got some really cool things that are kind of up and coming. I bought a PS4, and I can't remember if I actually mentioned that on the show or not. But I bought a PS4,
mm-hmm.
which is very exciting. And so I have Last of Us, and I have... what's that other? Oh, Far Cry.
Yeah. So you got two games that I have. We should play, at the very least, play some co-op in Far Cry, because I have not touched that game.
Can we co-op in Last of Us? Was that a thing?
Yeah, no, but there's multiplayer, and the multiplayer is actually pretty good.
Is it like versus multiplayer, like you would be trying to shoot me in the face?
No, we can be on the same team, but there would be other people
trying to shoot us in the face
and possibly putting their genitalia in and around our faces. So okay. We might not want to do that.
But. Yeah. I was talking to someone about that today, just generally like how I love first-person shooters, but I'm really a campaign person because I just don't necessarily get into that whole multiplayer. I don't play one game enough to just get good enough to compete in multiplayer and first-person shooters, so I just kind of back off, but...
I'm right there with you.
I'm looking forward to sitting down and getting into the PS4 a little bit more, plus the order's coming soon, which, can you believe it's almost February? Oh, again, this is where the calendar app would come in handy.
You could, I could show you in Fantastical that I've written down. Yeah, I wrote it on my phone. It's actually quite distracting. But anyways, the order, February 20th, it's like 2-3 weeks away, and I think that might be a game that we have a spoiler cast for, and we just talk about it.
I think
non-stop.
We should. And the thing is, I am doing my push to Legend in Hearthstone this month. So that means that I'm going to have to hit Legend by February 20th, because there's no way I'm going to want to play Hearthstone once the order is out. So,
yeah.
See my dilemma.
Can you do that? Is that physically possible?
Well, you know what? I actually had a really good run tonight. I played for an hour, and I went from, like, 14, because I just kind of, like, I gave up the other day and was just like, I'm not going to play any more of the season. I don't want to get burnt out. But then I was playing tonight, and I went from 14 to one star short of 10 in an hour. So I'm actually feeling really good about the deck that I have that I'm playing with right now. It's still got Undertaker in it, and Undertaker just got nerfed, so I'm not really sure how I feel about that. And if it seems to still be working. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm gonna have to see. But I'm doing my push to Legend this month. It's gonna be really, really intense. I'm excited about it, but a little bit nervous at the same time. But I figure if I can get to 10 no problems, I should be able, not should be able to get to Legend no problems, but if I can get to 10 no problems, then I feel very confident about my chances if I really apply myself. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Garrett and Dills at various points this week, and kind of like they're fully behind me, you know, all jokes on Angry Chicken aside, you know, they're really behind me and they're there to help and support. And it's a good feeling. And I've got a couple of other people I'm getting advice from. I've been talking to Savitz a little bit. I've been talking to Callum, who works for Ghost of Gamers. And everybody's just kind of been giving me tips and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, man, I have so much support. And I'm really going to do this. And I'm going to be the first Angry Chicken to actually make it to Legend, I've decided. So
good.
I'm pumped. I'm excited.
So everyone needs to send their support to Jocelyn to make sure she hit. Like, if you come on here and she gives her legendary update, or I was not even aware that that was a thing. So this is exciting.
So actually, I should, since this isn't the Angry Chicken, I should actually tell everybody what I'm actually doing. In Hearthstone, there's a competitive ladder, and so you gain and lose stars based on winning and losing games. Mm-hmm. And so you start out at rank 25, and you can move all the way up to rank 1, and you basically, there's a different number of stars at every rank, and so it can get a little bit grindy, but then once you get all the way up to rank 1 and you win again, then you go into what's called Legend rank, and there's only a certain number of people in Legend every season. It's you get a special card back for it. It's pretty prestigious. I'm really, really excited about it. So basically, it involves, if you have a 50% win rate, playing about 300 games in the course of the month, so playing about 10 games a day. So, yeah, it's a daunting task, but I really, really, really want to do it. So,
yeah.
I'm going to do it.
So, Barbecue Master in the chat room is trying to clarify what we mean by send your support. What I mean is get into the Battle.net client Hearthstone. You can spectate, right? You can get in there.
Yes, you can spectate. Yeah, you guys can watch. I'm not going to stream because I really want to concentrate, and I want to do it as quickly as I can. So I won't be streaming. I'm sorry, guys. What I'll probably be doing is streaming other games like Smite and stuff that I play just to kind of take a break from the Hearthstone world, but I'm not going to actually be streaming my climb. I might stream once I get to rank 1, and I think I'm going to get to Legend that night. I might do it. but again, what I want is tweets from you guys, just like, this is your daily reminder to go play your 10 games, Jocelyn. Like, get on that. So I just, I need your... just your support in Battle.net to spectate, and Twitter to just be like, play your games. You can do it. You rock. Yeah. So, which everyone has been super supportive so far. And I haven't even really started. Tonight was my first time where I was just like, I'm just going to see what kind of a win streak I can get going on. And I was just like, pew, I'm up the ladder. So I'm like, I'm in a good place.
Good. And I was just kidding, Barbecue Master. I didn't understand. He said via the Patreon. That is totally acceptable as well. But I think like, right now, Jocelyn just needs, like, tweets.
I need moral support.
Moral support. Send her cute pictures of cats to compliment her current addition to the family. Yes. All that fun stuff.
That's another thing. If I was talking about it on Angry Chicken, but if you don't listen to Angry Chicken, I got a cat. Oh. And he is adorable. His name is Thrall.
He's a shaman.
He's a shaman. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's currently sick. He has a respiratory thing, so he's sneezing and being adorable, but he's in the other room because I didn't want cat sneezing in the background of the show all night. So but yes, I did get a cat, and he's awesome. So if you want to see pictures, I posted some pictures on Twitter and Instagram. So
cool,
yeah, go check it out. But so that's the kind of the stuff that I'm looking at playing in the near future. But one thing that we both did this past week was our first raid in Warlords. So we got our team back together after the holidays. Everybody was, at least like leveled, not necessarily geared, but leveled. Everyone was level 100, so that was good.
Yes.
And considering some of the eye levels that we had, and we only had two healers in our group, we actually got the first boss down to, I think, was 17%, I think, was the lowest.
Yeah, we got him pretty low.
We did really, really well. I am so proud of us. So, yeah. Curiosity killed the raid. I love you guys, because we had an absolutely rockin' night. And I've missed everyone. Like, we did it Wednesday night instead of our normal Monday night. And, oh, man, I've just missed hanging out with everybody so much. So, quick shout-out to the raid team. You guys rock my socks. And, oh, man, so much fun, so much fun. How was your first Warlords raiding experience? Because Ryan actually made it to raid on Wednesday, shockingly.
I was geared. Everyone's blaming Josh. It's not Josh.
It was not Josh's fault.
It's not Josh's fault. Everyone likes to blame the tank, but really, you need to blame the healers. But no, seriously, I enjoyed myself. I was new to raiding kind of when we started way back. Chat is reacting. Back when, before Warlords, and we were doing a Mists content. And being back into raiding, I've really been enjoying sort of the day-to-day. What I always thought was the grind, but really it's with the garrisons and the dungeon quests. It's not a grind if you're just going in, doing what you want, enjoying yourself, and hopping out. So that's what I've been doing just for the last 2 weeks, like managing my garrison, making sure my jewel crafting dailies are done, and just all that fun stuff. And then when we actually get to do raid, it's like, even though we fought the same boss for 2.5 hours, that sounds really boring, but it's always fun because you're constantly talking to friends, new things are happening. I got hit by a fire trap, launched into a tiger. The tiger bit me. I finally got out of the trap, and then another fire trap came up.
So there's one part of the fight where the boss hurls you up into the stands because you're in an arena, and so you're like, there's like stands full of the Iron Horde orcs, and they're like jeering at you and stuff. And so you get hurled up into the stands, and you have to kill the adds, and then you have to jump back down. And you can jump down at any point, but, you know, you're supposed to manage killing off the specific mobs that are going to give you trouble later on with downing the actual boss down in the arena. Yeah. So that's fine. I was in the first group to go up. So we get thrown up there. We're killing all the stuff. And then we go, okay, we have to go back down now. You know, they need our help back down in the arena. And as I'm jumping off of the stand, one of our raid members goes, oh, yeah, and don't jump in the tiger pit. And I'm already in midair, like right into the tiger pit. And I was just like, oh.
they hit you pretty. That's like 150K damage, right?
And oh, yeah.
It really knocks your socks off. And I would never blame the healers. I would never blame the tank. It's usually nobody's fault. It's usually just a combination of not understanding what's happening, because with these raid encounters, it's one wrong move and your health goes down, and then the healer has to get you up. And then when the healer's trying to get you up, they're not paying attention to the tank.
They're not paying attention, exactly.
No, it's not even about paying attention.
Really, this whole entire thing is Ryan and I's fault, because we're DPS and we just kept getting hit with stuff and standing in poop.
I wanted to pet the cats. I mean,
they're adorable.
They are. You get up close, they're not adorable. They look like they want to tear your jugular out. But from afar and in that little cage down there, you kind of want to just go down and give them an old pat on the head. But no, I'm looking forward to going back. And I looked at the raid, the map raid thing. And there's like 7 bosses. So I still don't understand how raids work. When we go back on Monday, we'll have to fight that boss again, or are we going to reset it?
We fight that boss again, because we didn't beat him. So.
Well, of course, but that's been given based on the conversation. But so
like, what are you asking me right now?
Next question, the one that is actually pertinent to the conversation. When we do beat him on Monday, and then go and get beaten by the next boss a bunch of times, when we go back the next week, do we have to fight that first boss?
fighting the first boss over and over again, we're going to get the loot from that boss over and over again. So that helps us gear up and get ready for the next boss. So I can either extend the raid lockout and kind of essentially save our progress and we can keep going against the second boss. Or once we get really, really good at the first boss because we beat him so many times, then, you know, we'll kind of fly through, everyone will get their round of gear, and then we'll move on to the second. So, for instance, I'm trying to think, there was a couple of wings of siege that we saved our progress on just because we just wanted to get through the content. But now in Warlords, where it's at level, the expansion just came out, and we're going to be doing more of a farming progression type cycle, we'll probably just reset every week. Because we're going to want to get those drops all, as much as possible. Because the gear is still relevant for us, right?
Yeah, and it will be for some time. There's only a couple people on our team that are like hardcore raiders, or do they...
Yeah, so okay. we are mostly made up of people. And that's the other thing. This is why I'm so proud of us and how well we did on that first boss is because this is the first time for all of us that we're actually raiding at level and at gear level. Because what we did in Mists mm-hmm. is we all started raiding in the last like probably 4 to 6 months of the expansion right before Warlords came out. So we had all our gear from Timeless Isle. We had gear from, I'm trying to remember, like my gear was just ridiculous. And I mean, at one point we had, AIE was running people through, the final wing of Siege of Orgrimmar. So like I had my heirloom and, you know, like it just, we were way overgeared for a lot of the content that we were doing.
Yeah.
But now we're actually at level, at gear level and it's really challenging. And so we have to actually learn mechanics. We can't just like kind of power our way through. So I'm excited. We did really, 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 really well.
Yeah, and we're continuing story that has seen like a cliffhanger as part of the quest. Like we are the guy we're trying to kill is a guy you encounter in game. It's Kargath, is
Kargath,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Bladefist.
He's not very original. I don't know whether he got it Bladefist the name first or Bladefist the thing first, because he has a
Didn't you watch those super awesome little cinematic things that they put out?
Yeah, I should have, and I didn't, and I will.
Dude, you have to. The Lords of War series by Blizzard is amazing. They're like 3 to 5 minute shorts that basically tell the background of all of the warlords in Draenor. And oh my god, they're so good. And the Kargath one is really, really, really interesting. It's like basically he was a gladiator in arena, and if you win 100 fights, I think it was 100 fights, then you win your freedom, essentially. But then he won, and then he was not set free, and then so he ended up, like, smashing the crap out of his hand to break free from his bonds, and then that's why he has a blade now instead of a hand.
I think I did watch that one. I watched
one. Did
you?
Because it was the first one that came out.
Yeah,
so.
Everybody watched that one because it was cool. I watched that one, yeah. And the lore is always really good for WoW, and I'm looking forward to continuing like the raids and actually being able to listen to like podcasts and see news coming out of Blizzard and being like, I'm actually going to do that eventually.
Yes.
The road. Whereas before it's like, I can't wait to watch the ending cinematic on YouTube because there's no way in hell I'm going to be able to be able to raid that.
Yeah. And I remember when the Thunder King came out in WoW, and that trailer for 5.2 was so good. And I was just like, I'm never going to see that content. And it was so sad. But yeah. I'm super, super excited for being kind of on par with raiding. And I know that we're only just in our first week and our first boss, and everybody else has pretty much cleared Heimal. But, you know, we'll get there. And I'm impressed with us for where we are right now. So I'm also only about 300 conquest points away from my conquest bow, which is going to, I think, increase my DPS by like 125 damage per second or something, which is like insane with the new squish numbers. So I'm very excited. We're going to do really, really well. And I'm glad that everybody had fun, which is really why we're there. Like, we're trying to do some progression and some farming and all that kind of stuff. But really why we're playing together is because we're learning and it's a fun experience. So
it's for fun.
We're definitely not hardcore.
Well,
and I'm thinking that I might actually stream it. I was thinking of streaming this week, but it was our first week back, so I didn't really want to put all that pressure on everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to start streaming soon, and then you guys can see what a chill, laid-back raid leader I am. And, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
It will be a lot. There are things said.
Yes.
Like you watch our Smite games. Whew. There's stuff to put sand penis to shame. I mean,
yes, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, what else have you been playing other than WoW this week, Ryan?
Well, before I get into my epic gaming weekend I had last weekend. It's been that long since we've done a show. I wanted to give a quick plug for, as you guys know, and Jocelyn knows, I do a show called Zombies Ate My Podcast with the lovely Lou and the wickedly talented Bob. And
the lovely Lou, really?
The lovely Lou. I mean, okay. You talk to Lou any day and tell me that I'm wrong.
That's true.
Thank you. Anyways, I was, as I was saying, so just like Jocelyn has her, like, her Hearthstone talk, you know, we're mandated not to go very long. So just like that, I have that with zombie games. And a new game came out this week called Dying Light. It's made by the guys who did Dead Island. You remember Dead Island, don't you, Jocelyn?
I do. I never played it, but mm-hmm. I am aware of its existence.
You're aware of its existence. It has zombies in it.
Exactly, which is why I didn't play it.
Yeah, it's it wasn't really my jam either. It was kind of clunky, and I wasn't very big on it. But Dying Light is sort of the follow-up next-gen version by Techland, and it's a lot of fun. It's one of the best zombie games I've played, and it puts more emphasis on running away from the zombies over combat. And just like The Walking Dead, if you are, not the game, but the TV show, if you are being cornered by a group of zombies, you just got to run. You got to get out of there. And how it supports
that. Isn't that kind of like Zombie U for the Wii U? Wasn't that more focused on running versus fighting?
Yeah, exactly. Zombie U was more of a survival game as opposed to a combat game. Now, once you got guns, you could kind of start mowing things down. And I haven't got far enough in Dying Light where you get a gun. So it's based more on melee combat, similar to what Dead Island was. But like, if you're getting cornered, you have to get out of there. And how it supports that is basically parkour, for the lack of a better term.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're running, you're jumping, you're grabbing onto things. You're encouraged to sort of traverse by rooftop. So it's kind of like a mix between Assassin's Creed and a zombie game where you're running around, except you don't have that verticality where you can't just jump off a building and stab a zombie in the neck and keep on running. It's more realistic. So if you're
I love that you just called a zombie game realistic.
Yeah, well, okay. I know. But it's realistic in the sense that if you're running along some rooftops and you miss a jump and you don't hold the grab button to grab onto something, you're falling to your death.
Huh.
And it's pretty painful because you die at the end and it's not very fun. But if you do encounter a zombie that you want to take out, you can use your melee, and it's the combat is not the best part of the game, but it's certainly fun and satisfying when you can really connect with a zombie. But the other unique thing is there's a day-night cycle to the world.
Oh, cool.
So in the nighttime, it ramps everything up. Like, the survival aspect is just turned up to 11 because at night, some of the zombies turn into what are called volatiles, and they basically evolve into these hardcore zombies that will track you, listen for your sounds, and just relentlessly hunt you.
Okay.
So you literally have to run.
But then do they go back to normal zombies during the day? So they're like, where zombies?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's like, maybe they go to sleep. I'm pretty sure that they, like, just... They don't come out in the light because they're like more like vampires as opposed to werewolves. Does that make sense? So if I got my supernatural character lore, but yeah, it's been interesting. I'm really enjoying it. And if you're a zombie fan and you liked Dead Island, it's certainly worth checking out. It's a brand new title out this week. But if you want more in depth, talk on Dying Light, Lou, Bob, and I, as well as James, our good British friend, James Bartholomew, will be joining us, and we'll probably record this weekend and have it posted before the end of the weekend. And you can get more information at zombiesatemypodcast.com. So just a light plug. But what we are here to talk about, and I have been teasing it, and I even told Jocelyn a story which she...
accidentally, totally... I don't know if I spoiled it on Twitter.
No, you didn't spoil it. You referenced it and just confused everybody.
Oh my God. Garrett's tweet was just totally made my night.
The worst part is that he didn't follow up at all. He made his decision that we were just both awful people. But anyways, I played D&D again. And the last time we played D&D, we had a great discussion on the show. So I wanted to report in. This time we played 5th edition, which is very different from 4th edition, which was what I played in September.
Obviously. It's a whole other edition.
Well, yeah, you joke, but it's true. Like, the D&D fans, like, they fucking hate 4th edition. Just hate it.
Really?
I thought they hated 5th edition, but they hate 4th edition. The big difference that I notice is that my character is a ranger, right? So rather than having a bunch of different types of moves...
Mm-hmm.
He had more just basic ranged attacks and a couple of spells. that you could use. You have so many spell slots, and you have so many spells that you know, and you can use them in battle, and they refresh every time you rest. So that's the basic setup. And it's a role. We were role playing. We had continued our campaign from what we did in September, pretty much like once we learned the 5th edition rules, we just kept on rolling. And I want to tell two stories. One of a critical hit, which is when you roll a d20 and you hit a 20, and one of a critical miss, both pretty funny stories. So which one do you want to hear first?
I think you should tell the critical miss story first, so that I can then lead your critical hit story into the story that I told on Twitter.
All right. So the critical miss. So as people know, playing D&D, if you've ever played, everything's based on a roll. And you roll for everything, and it's at the DM's discretion. Sometimes it's just so simple to do something, they'll just let you do it. So we're in a hallway, and I say, I have a very high perception, because I'm a ranger, and I'm awesome. Rollin' be rollin', as we call them.
Obviously.
So I say, I want to do a perception check, and DM's like, okay, go ahead. Roll the d20, get a high enough thing where he's like, okay, there's a magical door at the end of the hall, what do you do? I'm like, well, I want to open it. He's like, all right, roll a d20 for some magical check or to see if you can actually do it. I roll a one. And the DM says to me, all right. And we've actually had the DM on the show. It was Matt Kearney. He says...
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. And he's a great DM, and he does voices. He's pretty upset probably right now that I'm telling that he does voices.
All the good DMs do voices. Don't take it personally, Matt.
He's a great DM, and he had some creative thing. Every time you do something, sometimes the DM will tell you what happened. Other times the DM will say, okay, you killed him, what did you do? And you can kind of tell your story.
Oh, so you have to tell the story? Oh,
sometimes.
Man, I am not creative enough to play this game.
Well, you don't have
to
be
creative.
I thought
it was just rolling dice.
It is
be
rolling
a badass.
Dice. It is rolling dice, and sometimes he'll allow you to get creative, and you can do that. Which I have a story about that as well. But anyways, I roll a one, critical miss is what they call it. So basically, if you hit roll a one, you just fail outright. You roll a 20, you crit.
You win.
You win, no matter what. So I roll a one on this door, and he says, okay, Roland approaches the door and puts his hand into a slot to try and open it. The handle's inside. It's a giant stone door. And he says, you open the door. And you can't open, like, you just physically, you don't know how to open the door, and you walk away very upset. And then, like, I'm just like, ah. So, no, that was my turn, right? So I wasted my turn not being able to open the door. But, so sometimes that happens. And what I said about, like, the DM allowing you to tell a story, we were joined by, and this is actually related to some conversations we had on Twitter about doing our own D&D. We're still working on the plans. People were kind of jumping on that Twitter conversation, but
yeah,
we had a guest join us. And again, like all at the DM's discretion, he had worked it out beforehand. We knew he was coming. It was one of the cousins of one of our players who was 12, still 12 at the time, and still 12 to this day, I believe. And he joined the game, and the DM, like, it was part of the story, and he showed up, and the first thing he does is he kills this really annoying character that we've all hated. So instantly,
great
plus on our side, and he would basically say, like, every time he killed something, he was like the super strong rogue. Kearney was nice enough to give him like some really powerful daggers and spells, and he'd basically say, like, he'd roll a bunch of, and because his stats were so high, he'd always get really high and he'd always kill everything that he hit. And Kearney would be like, all right, you killed him, how did you do it? And this 12-year-old would say, well, I have two daggers, I sneak up behind him, I put the one dagger in, then I put the other dagger in, and then I just yank him out. And that's how he killed every person. And it was very graphic, and I said, should we be telling your parents about this? Like, turns out he just played, like, a lot of Assassin's Creed, so it's all good. But this leads to the critical hit story, and I will let Jocelyn... I told you the story, did I not? I think we were playing
you
Smite.
You did, but you should tell the story, dude. I don't remember all the ins and outs of the story.
All right. See, yeah, okay. This is the moment everyone's been waiting for, because
I
did.
So much suspense.
I told it on Smite because I couldn't hold it any longer. I wanted to, because we were going to record a show on Sunday and talk about it, but I was just so wiped that we just ended up playing Smite. So I told the story, and basically, this is the opposite of what happens when you get a critical hit or critical miss is a critical hit. We're in a dungeon. We're facing a giant troll at the time, and it's not taking any damage because it's armored. It's a troll. It's very thick skinned. Like, I have piercing damage, which does nothing against like armored bodies. And our paladin Adam, who was the MC at our wedding, super nerdy, and he charged the troll and got it prone by knocking it over. So the troll is on the ground, and I'm at the far end of the room because I'm a ranger. I don't want to be up there. I want to be far away. And I say to the DM, because this is what you have to do, because the DM has everything in his mind, and what he can't have in his mind. Yes, the troll can be called Charles. Charles is on the ground. He's in the prone position. He's not happy right now. He just got
a suggestion from the chat room. Yes. For those of you that are listening to
Tweep suggested it. What had happened, he's prone. Our rogue friend had put the dagger in like this, and the dagger, and so on and so forth. So I'm sitting there, and what you have to do is we use a system called Roll20, which is a website. And we had a big screen, and it was an extension of the DM's laptop. And he was able to position all the characters so there's like a visual, so you can see what's happening. But I didn't really know what the character is doing, and so I say to the DMs, like, okay, is Charles, the troll, facing me? Or which way is it facing? And he says, it's facing away from you. Okay, the troll's facing away. He's prone. And I say, all right, I want to do an aim shot. And the DM's like, okay, what are you aiming for? His butthole. Because it's not armored, right? And he's not armored. He's down. Battlehawk's asking, yes, this is D&D. He's down. He's facing. He's got a loincloth. That's his only thing covering his shame. And he's super armored. And I figure, well, if you're going to hit something that's hard skin, what is going to...
Aim for the butthole.
Aim for the butthole. So I got a crit on his butthole. And the DM would describe this arrow, which, again, aim shot, crit, it's hitting that thing. And the arrow went into his butthole. So the DM begins to describe that this troll just, like, it's out of the prone position now and running around the room, and it's got an arrow sticking out of its butthole, and it's bleeding profusely. It was, and like, I think our mage puked in-game. And I'm far enough away where I'm just like, I'm just so happy. Like, oh, I aim shot. Like, I'm a ranger. Yeah, I do this for a living. So that was my story of a crit hit. And I had told that story to Jocelyn, and then she went off. And
So I'm looking for the tweet, because basically what happened is I was hanging out playing some Smite, and Ryan had left. I was hanging out with, I guess it was Josh and Jimmy.
Yep.
And so we're playing away. And I can't even remember which character I was playing, but I was almost dead, and I'm running away. And we were playing against this, like, super pro Cupid. And he's chasing me, and I hear him do his, like, crazy catch-up move, and I'm running. And then I get critted in the back by Cupid. So... Oh, I can't. I'm trying to find the tweet, and I can't find it.
The tweet is Jocelyn just tweeted randomly. I think I was like was playing video games or something. I looked down, and I've got three tweets on my phone. The first one is Jocelyn at replying me, mentioning, saying, "I just got critted in the butthole by Cupid. I thought of you." And then no smiley face, which probably would have made worse. Then Garrett responds, dot dot dot. What the actual fuck does this mean? And then Jocelyn says, someone hasn't listened to TGI. And then I finally jump in and like, yeah, I told that story to your Smite.
Yeah, that was just between you and I, Jocelyn.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. And you know what? I love talking about D&D because I think like the chat room likes hearing about it. Like, we even got Prostatelius. I'm pronouncing that wrong. But he's saying, like, well, trolls regen, though, unless it was a fire arrow. And that's the case. We had major issues taking down this troll because the only person that had fire spells was our dragon and our mage. So I just pissed it off. He's right. I just made it angry.
You didn't even kill it.
No. I did hardcore damage.
Cupid totally killed me.
Well, I did damage, but like you said, it was regening, and he got that arrow out of there faster than... Yes, Protess Illis. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
If more people...
Phonetic spelling in Twitch chat is fantastic. I love you guys.
So yeah, that's my story about critting a troll, Charles, in the
book. Charles, yes.
I think he just wanted me to call it Charles, so out of context, I could be just as bad as...
critting Charles' butthole and...
This show took a weird turn.
It really did. Yeah. So, I just wanted to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So we're actually not going to have a topic this week other than our Game of the Year response emails, because you guys sent us a ton of feedback. Mm-hmm. So much on our Game of the Year episode. And I just wanted to say quickly off the top, we got an email from Derek, who is also known as Vethrath, and we had to split it in two different spots. So we've got your Game of the Year stuff this week, and then we're going to talk about the other half of your email next week. So don't think that we're skipping it. Don't think we forgot it. We have a lot of emails, guys. So the first one does come from Veth, and he says, my Game of the Year is Destiny. It's an odd pick since I love the story and this game doesn't really have any, or I love story and this game doesn't really have any. I don't even really play it anymore, but for a couple of months, this game had me hooked. The gunplay is excellent and the concept of a small squad-based co-op shooter, can't read tonight, is always attractive to me. I had tons of fun playing with Josh and Evan. I've replaced it with Call of Duty since I was ready to move on, but it isn't really as fun as Destiny used to be, and my friends just want to play Team Deathmatch over and over and over. Understandable. That's, I know, what kind of the reason I stay away from Call of Duty. I love the campaign, though. The not Modern Warfare.
Advanced Warfare.
Thank you.
Kevin Spacey.
Yes, well, exactly. Kevin Spacey was so good. That whole thing. I really, really liked this version of Call of Duty. It's been a while since I've really gotten crazy into Call of Duty, so I really enjoyed it. But yeah, I'm surprised because a lot of people were saying how disappointed they were in Destiny. I never gave it a try, but it's funny. People are so split on this game. It's like either you're way super into it and still really into it, or you tried it for a week and went, this is totally not for me. There's no point. There's no story. I don't even know why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then I've had other people who still love it, still play it, and are just like, well, it's really hard. So maybe people just don't like hard games. And I'm like, well, I don't really think that that's the case. But, you know, like I can see there's definitely, it's a very polarizing title. Ryan, you actually played Destiny.
I did.
Did you talk about it in the Game of the Year episode at all? I can't remember.
It was unfortunately my biggest disappointment.
It was your biggest disappointment, right.
Because, and it's not for the reason, like if I had experienced what Derek had experienced with that game, I probably wouldn't have made it my disappointment of the year. The issue with Destiny is that it didn't have that hook. I love Bungie story games, and it just didn't live up to what Bungie normally offers. However, this is a first outing. The mechanics, the shooting mechanics are solid. The multiplayer mechanics, like just the drop in, drop out, sort of have people jump into your party type stuff is amazing. But the issue is that they tried to do something like MMO-y with a shooter. So it's got like gear grinding, rep grinding, raids, hardcore raids. So it's an interesting idea, and which will probably be perfected in the sequel. We can just be happy that they did make a metric butt ton of money, that they're able to make a sequel. But
didn't they originally say that Destiny was supposed to be like have a 10-year cycle or something like that? Wasn't that the plan? They were just going to keep basically wowing it and just doing expansion after expansion. And
yeah, and that's my issue with it as well, is that they're not wowing it in the sense that the way Blizzard does things, in the sense that they're overcharging for content. Like they sell you the base game at 60, the expansions are 25 each, and they include a quarter of the content you get in the original game. Like you're looking at a $125 game in Canada with all the content, which is ridiculous.
That's pretty pricey.
You know, like, I think some of that stuff, like, there's nothing being given away for free by these guys, for the most part, like, content-wise. They're giving away, like, free guns, but that's not really anything worth writing home about. So I'm looking forward to the second one, and I almost wish it didn't do so well, because then maybe Bungie would have thought outside the box, rather than just continuing along their plan. I think Destiny 2 is going to be fantastic. I have this slight, like, tinge of, I just want to go back to it because I didn't actually finish the story. But I'm just, I can't quite make myself do it. I don't know why.
Mm. So then it's really funny because basically you and Veth totally swapped because you picked Dragon Age as your game of the year, and he says it's his biggest disappointment because he says played around 70 hours and then stalled. I haven't touched single player in a couple of weeks now. It seems 80% boring MMO grind quests and 20% interesting core story. I think I'll go back someday and finish it, but I hate to force myself to play a game I'm not enjoying. This was my disappointment of the year since I greatly enjoyed the previous games and own all the companion novels. I didn't even know that there were Dragon Age novels. There's novels for everything now, which I love. Like all of the expanded WoW universe stuff and the StarCraft and everything. And I love that they're taking the video game universes and really expanding. Even though it's outside of games and I'd rather see that story content in games, I'm still glad that they're expanding on all the lore around these games. I just love it. It just isn't fun the most of the time that I play it. So I think that's a valid point because I can see, and I haven't sunk a ton of time into Dragon Age. I've literally spent like half an hour in there. But I can totally see how an RPG MMO type thing, like, because I had the same problem with that one from Maine. Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yes, Reckoning.
Same difference. I couldn't just go on the main storyline. I had to go and I had to help dude with his chickens, and then I had to go shoot rabbits to feed other dude's family, and I'm like, but I just want to see this main storyline, and I just kept ramming my head up against the same boss, and I couldn't get by it because I wasn't high enough level just because I hadn't done enough of these stupid little grindy MMO side quests. So I can totally see how this, or how a lot of games kind of fall into that, but I don't know. It's funny because this is the first time, probably because, you know, you are so crazy into Dragon Age, but this is the first time I've really heard somebody say, you know what, it really wasn't for me. It was too grindy.
They did kind of really introduce these like smaller quests that were very MMO like go kill this thing and come back and give it to me, like that sort of stuff. And really, it requires a lot of self-control to play that game, especially if you're a completionist, because really what you got to do is get to a certain level, get enough power to unlock the main story missions and go do those. Because that's, like he says, I think the 80-20 is coming from someone who probably played, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Beth, because we have talked about this game before off air and stuff, so I know he was playing it. It's probably more more 50-50, especially if you're actually doing what BioWare wants you to do. Like, we know you're going to do this, you're going to play this game multiple times, and people do that. So we want you to just do enough side quests that interest you to get enough power to unlock the story mode, the story missions, and continue that way, as opposed to doing every little thing, then doing a story mission, and then like 40 hours later doing this, repeating the process. I think that's the issue a lot of people had, and I did too, and that's, so I started to get burned out as well.
Was it similar to Mass Effect 3 then? Because I'm thinking in Mass Effect it was more like there were side planets and side things you could do, but most of the time I felt, at least, like I never ran into a wall with the main mission where it was too hard because I was undergeared or underleveled.
Yeah, it wasn't really like Mass Effect 3 was always felt very story based. Even the side missions. And with Dragon Age Inquisition, it was like everything was story based in the world, even the side missions, but you're going to a story hub, whereas in Mass Effect 3, there'd be one quest to do in that little story side quest. But with Dragon Age, it's like, here's 10 quests. Go away, do everything, come back.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a lot. So I think what it was trying to do is encourage you to do this little side pocket of quests and then move on. You know, but that isn't really conducive to trying to save the world kind of stuff, right?
Well, exactly, which was always, you know, my, not necessarily problem with Mass Effect 3, but the way that I played through Mass Effect 3 was like, oh my god, the universe is ending, I have to go. Yeah. And I mean, that's why I finished the game in a week, that's why I didn't do a whole ton of side quests, that's why I just, like, was up for, like, all of the hours of all of the nights playing multiplayer. Because, yeah, we had to play multiplayer to get your resources up, sort of thing, and oh man, yeah. And I remember the sense of urgency, and that's my problem with side quests, is it pulls you right out of the importance. Like Battlehawk in the chat room was saying, it establishes you as king, which is a really nice ego boost. It's like, yeah, but if you're the king and then you have to go, like, herd chickens, that's not... You don't feel big and powerful and important anymore. You feel like a farmhand, and that's just not what I want in a video game. I want to kill dragons and, you know, make things explode with my magi fireballs. Yeah. And, you know, I want big. I want epic. I don't want chickens.
Yeah, it sounds like well, see, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, right? If BioWare had done what we're all suggesting, and that, like, just give me the story, give me a little bit of fluff, but not enough that I'm going to get bored with the fluff. That's a different game. That's Fable, right?
And see, I'm a huge Fable fan. So.
Yeah, but this is what Dragon Age is like. Dragon Age 2, it was very like that, where it was like just enough fluff, a lot of story. And a lot of repeated dungeons, but, you know, that was that game, and they got so much flack for it, and maybe they overcorrected without sort of offering, you know, the guidelines of, like, hey, we noticed you've kind of been, you know, turding chickens for 16 hours. You might want to go, you know, try to save the world. There wasn't any of that, I felt. Like, there wasn't any of these reminders. So, again, maybe little things like that would have helped, but...
Mm-hmm. So before we move on to what Beth is most looking forward to, we actually have a lot of Dragon Age feedback, because we had quite a few people agree with you.
I touched a bit of a nerve with this one.
Yeah, a little bit. So do you want to read the next email from Nick?
Sure. We got Nick's email here. He says, I've been going back and forth about whether I should buy Dragon Age Inquisition for the PC. My only next-gen console so far is the Wii U. I'm still deciding, but was wondering if I needed to play either of the first two games in order to understand things in this one. I apologize if you have already gone over this. I can't really remember. Nick, I'm sorry that we're getting back to... I should have probably just responded with a definite, you're good to just play Dragon Age Inquisition. So this is like 3 weeks later, and hopefully he's not, like, waiting. Sorry about this, Nick. But it's really up to you. If you're hardcore into the story, you can go back and play 1 and 2, but... People have been upset with my opinion before, and I'll say it again. Brace yourselves, chat room and listeners. Dragon Age 1 is an old game, kind of a mess.
To play Dragon Age 1, and I only got about, I want to say, an hour, maybe an hour and a half into it. Mm-hmm. And for me, what killed it was my character. Every single time she moved, she was like, except for, like, way more high-pitched and way more annoying. And I was just like, I can't listen to this. And I actually, to the point that I turned off the sound, like, I muted the TV and tried to keep playing. But then, obviously, you can't hear any of the other game sounds. And I was just, like, looking everywhere for a setting where it was, like, maybe if I turn off voice or something. But at the point of Dragon Age 1, they didn't have it all broken down like that. So, you know, it was either sound on or sound off. And I tried playing it with sound off, and I tried playing with sound on, and I was just like, I can't do this. Can't.
Yeah, but there is some really cool character interactions. You're introduced to some very useful characters that you're going to see in Inquisition, like Liliana, Morrigan. Those are the two major ones that'll show up.
But you can probably get that from either some kind of, like, wiki synopsis thing, or you can probably find all of the, like, cutscenes and stuff on, like, YouTube or Twitch or whatever. So.
Right. Well, that's actually a really good point, because something we've covered in the past, and there's a video that I did called Dragon Age Keep. You log in, go to Dragon Age Keep, and you can do it for free as long as you have an Origin account, which is also free. You log in, you choose your world state through, like, a tapestry of choices, and then you hit...
Oh, I remember you talking about this now.
Yeah, you hit the save button, and it just plays a video for you, and just runs... It's like a 20-minute video. It runs through the entire story and all your choices from Dragon Age 1 and Dragon Age 2. So that's another option, if you want to just...
And, like, so is that a game on Origin, Dragon Age Keep, or is that, like, DragonAgeKeep.com?
It's DragonAgeKeep.com or something. Google Dragon Age Keep. It's a website. It's an interactive sort of, like, storytelling.
I'll see if I can find it
for the chat room. Yeah. It's really neat, and I... Some people who have time, they want to go back and play Dragon Age Origins and Dragon Age 2, certainly do so, because they're both great games, they both have great story. You are going to miss stuff if you just do the Keep. But if you just want to jump into the new awesomeness that is Inquisition, just do the Keep, set up the world state you want, import it into Inquisition, watch your choices unfold. And because Inquisition sort of exists outside of the events of Dragon Age 1 and 2. Mm-hmm.
Like it is literally DragonAgeKeep.com.
Yeah, perfect. Good on you, EA, for getting a really good domain.
Oh, I thought you were going to say good on you, Jocelyn, for finding that. I was like, Google's my friend.
No, well, yeah.
Never mind.
Goes without saying. I would highly suggest just doing the Dragon Age Keep and then playing Inquisition. And, you know, the story that happens in 1, the story that happens in 2 definitely feeds into and sets up Inquisition, but not enough that you're going to be so confused at the opening to Inquisition. They sort of explain it, and the Keep really helps. So that's my suggestion. Oh, and make sure you have a really powerful PC, because that game is quite the beast.
For Dragon Age or Dragon Age Keep?
No, oh, well, Keep you could do on your iPad. You'll be fine.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, it doesn't look that intense.
Inquisition is a bit of a hog, and it's beautiful. So totally worth having a good computer.
So our next email comes to us from Rob, and he says, "Howdy, guys. Been listening for several months now, and like others, I moved from the Instance over to the Angry Chicken to you guys. Mm-hmm. I love your conversations, and it's great getting to hear about the other games I don't always have the time and money to enjoy myself. However, uh-oh. I got to say it. I hate you, Ryan."
And this is where I had my heart just almost – I was reading this email, and I'm like, oh, God, no. Don't
I know. I was reading it too, and I'm like, "What the hell did Ryan do?"
Evidently, I did something terrible.
Terribly terrible. All of your talk of Dragon Age Inquisition has done a bad number on me. After hearing you go on and on about how much you love the game, I finally gave in and picked it up for Xbox.
And now I'm really dying. Weekend. Just, I'm almost like, I don't even want to keep reading.
And this is all before I got caught up on my episodes and heard even more of your Dragon Age Inquisition fawning during the 30-year anniversary.
Now I'm in the fetal position.
Episodes, but damn it, Ryan. I'm hooked. Like, hardcore hooked. But no, seriously. I basically had a Dragon Age Inquisition gaming marathon over the weekend and have sacrificed many hours of sleep since then to dive deep into this game. It's such a good game, and honestly, the first game all year that has gotten me to actively put time elsewhere other than WoW and Hearthstone. Blasphemy.
No.
Tisk tisk.
Can't win them all.
I heard in the Game of the Year episode that you had no written in listener support for your pick of Dragon Age Inquisition for your Game of the Year choice, and I just wanted to validate you in your selection. I haven't finished it yet. I'll be starting on the Arbor Wilds tonight. I have no idea what that means, but I assume it's an area.
I think you finished the game. That's like the last area.
Oh, is it?
It's not a spoiler. It's the Arbor Wilds exists.
It's a thing. Okay. But I'm greatly looking forward to how the story will wrap up and my second run through supporting the Templars instead of the Mages. Oh.
Yep.
And here's the good part. And Joss, I got to support Ryan here and tell you to give this one a good go. Skyrim is so old in gaming years, and to be honest, see, I forgot that this wasn't actually supporting me. This is supporting Ryan again.
Sorry.
Never got much past the opening sequence in that game. If you need a good fantasy dragon fix, this is the money. I know we're all primarily PC gamers, but my suggestion is couch this one up on your new PS4. P.S. You were right about delaying the first playthrough and starting the second until the gender glitch was fixed. I had some very key interactions and story come about as a result of the relationship I formed with Dorian. Mm-hmm. Don't know who that is. Especially during and around the time of the Selene storyline. Ooh, yeah. Teasers. So,
these are all really good points. And now that I've gotten everyone to write in about Dragon Age, let's all write in about how...
Everyone should write in about how awesome Hearthstone is and back my Game of the Year pick. Damn
or
it.
How awesome Nintendo games are. I know those Wii U listeners are out there. Come on, guys. No, seriously,
no,
though.
Yeah,
there's a few of them, but they try to keep quiet or raise the hate. The couch comment's a really good one because most of the time I was playing Dragon Age, I had moved my PC into the living room and was playing with the controller. Mm.
That's probably what I'll do too, because yeah. I got a really good sale on Dragon Age. I can't remember how much it was off, but I remember it was 40. Somewhere 30 or 40% off. And so I've got it on PC. So
cool. No, I don't think it's blasphemy anymore to suggest that like the keyboard controls for this game are not as good as the controller. Like, I know back in the day, if you said that, like, the PC Master Race people would come out and try to hit you with their keyboard. And back then, man, those things hurt. But yeah, like just all this agreeing is really awesome. And Dragon Age is a great game. I wouldn't go as far to say like Skyrim is you couldn't get past the opening sequence. That's kind of unfortunate because that game is really good.
It's so good.
I can't wait for another Elder Scrolls game in that in the main series there. But
ESO is going free to play.
In the main series would be nice, but I will try ESO. I missed it on the front run. Maybe
well,
check it out.
Well, and that's good because we should jump back into ESO when it goes free to play because my character is not that far. I played it for probably 3 weeks. I really, really enjoyed it, but I found that the guildies from WoW that went over to ESO just went way super hardcore into it. Like, they are the hardcore MMO players out of the AIE community. So when they went over to ESO, like, I only had time to play on the weekends, and so I couldn't keep up with them, so I was way behind. And they're the ones that, like, they know exactly what you're supposed to do from the get-go. They do all the reading, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of discovery. It's more of like, well, why don't you have your crazy super sword with the amethyst hilt? Because you crafted it that way or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, I made mine out of rubies. And they're like, oh.
I liked what I played of it in the beta. I love that they really went with the Elder Scrolls motif of, like, the Skyrim UI, the Skyrim, like, controlling your mouse and, like, going over stuff and having the little diamond and whatnot. I thought those were nice touches. I didn't expect that. I was just expecting another MMO with an Elder Scrolls theme, but they really did like take Elder Scrolls and make it an MMO. And I'm glad it's still around, and I'm glad it's going buy to play in the sense that you're buying the game and there's no subscription.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, you do still have to. They're getting rid of subscriptions. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, more than happily. But
calling it free to play, it's misleading. So that's my fault.
Yeah, no, it's free to play. It's like Guild Wars 2. You buy the game, there's an in-game shop, there's even a subscription that you can get to get extra bonuses. But if you just want to buy it, check it out, you know, that's awesome. I think it goes buy to play with the launch of the consoles in June. Is that a...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I'll pick it up.
And I think you get certain bonuses if you had a subscription previous.
Yes.
So, like, I had my subscription all the way through till December or January, just because I hadn't been playing, but I just kept forgetting to cancel it. And so then I literally canceled it, and like 2 weeks later, they're like, hey, we're going subscription free. And I was like, oh, damn it. But yeah, there are bonuses for having a subscription prior to. Sparky Shocker in the chat room is correcting us and saying March 13th is when, because I was going to say, I thought it was March, but
yeah.
But yeah, so March 13th, it will no longer be a subscription model.
Perfect.
But that kind of does lead us back into Vess email, because he was saying what he's most looking forward to is actually Skyrim. That's right. I just deleted my old save games and installed a bunch of mods. This time I'm going to do everything and beat the game, which is where I was back when we started Gamers In, actually. So like 3 years ago when we were way into Skyrim, right when it came out. I wanted to do everything and beat the game, and I got it down to 5 achievements. I'm still 5 achievements short, but it's on the Xbox, and I wanted to start a new playthrough on the PC because I do have the PC version, but I haven't done that yet. So many games, so little time.
Yeah, there's a lot to do.
Boo-hoo, right? Boo-hoo.
Yeah. No, there's lots of games to play, lots of games to check out, and Skyrim, I really did enjoy. I did get through all the content. I didn't get all the achievements, but I did play like the quests and the DLC, and I really love the way the Elder Scrolls team makes their RPGs, and I cannot wait. I don't care what they do next. If it's another Elder Scrolls or another Fallout, just give it to me now.
Just do something. Yeah.
Do something. Announce it. I'm waiting. Yeah.
So, Ryan, do you want to tell us about the second thing that Beth is looking forward to?
He's also looking forward to Dungeon Defenders 2. He loved Dungeon Defenders, and he thinks DD2 will just improve on the formula. And, yeah, Dungeon Defenders 2 is in early access right now, I believe.
I was going to say, is that one that we have?
I think so. I have a copy, and I know Josh has a copy.
Yeah, I think, I feel like we do have that. And we should give it a shot. I haven't actually loaded it up. I think it's installed, but I haven't actually played it yet.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. I do have it installed. I do want to check it out. It looks cool. I like the idea of Dungeon Defenders, but I didn't get a chance to really get into it. So hopefully we can hit the ground running with Dungeon Defenders 2.
So The third thing that he's looking forward to is Persona 5, which may be his current favorite series. Persona 3 and 4 were amazing Japanese RPGs. SRPGs are what I actually spend most of, or where I actually spend most of my time, which is interesting because it's definitely a genre that I haven't touched. Have you played a lot of this?
No, I keep hearing things about Persona and how, and it probably would be right up my alley because I loved, this is going to sound weird, I loved Fire Emblem Awakening and the way they did their, like, marriage slash kid system where you were dealing with things in the future and you could choose, like, relationships to happen and then, like, your kid would show up because the kid would go back in time. It was really weird, but really interesting. The dialogue was written really well, and I hear the same thing about the Persona series. I think 5 is exclusive to the PS3 and Vita, so I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. I think like they're the type of team that has PS3? An issue.
PS3?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think. I could be wrong, because I think that was like sort of the issue people have with it, is that they're always like a generation behind.
Mm. One thing that I forgot to mention, speaking of PlayStation, I'm so looking forward to Fat Princess. Whatever they're doing in the Fat Princess world, I looked because I really, really, really wanted like the old Fat Princess for PS3 on my PS4. And if I had had that, I never would have left the couch. But yeah, no, I couldn't find it. It's not available. It's only on the PS3. And I'm just like, oh, man, why couldn't you port that over? Because I want to play it so bad. I love that game.
There's a new
love
one coming out. No, Persona, I was wrong. Persona 5 is coming out to PS4 as well. Okay. So. That's good.
Very cool. And so the last thing that Beth is looking forward to in 2015 is Oculus Rift !
I don't know what this means, but I'm excited. Yeah, Oculus Rift. Are you excited about Oculus Rift? I'm kind of indifferent about it.
The reason that I'm really not has a lot to do with Google Glass and that whole project being canceled, because I feel like the tech in Google Glass could have been kind of cool, but I don't want to have like big, huge, boxy, heavy things on my face when I'm playing video games. I don't know. It could be really cool. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it. I definitely agree with the question mark exclamation. Yeah, that.
Yeah,
you know, it's very much like Oculus Rift.
It'd be a really cool thing. Something I experienced at my gaming weekend. Kearney has he's got a whole setup in his computer. He's got face tracking, a joystick, and like throttle for his like space game. Where you control, yeah, it was like you feel like you're in a spaceship. Like you're controlling like your movement and you're like your throttle and you're moving your head to kind of look around your cockpit. And he's got voice controls too. And it's neat. It's cool to try. It's cool to watch. But, I don't know if I'd ever own it. I mean, like Oculus Rift is probably a little more applicable to a lot of other games as opposed to a setup like that. But, I think Oculus Rift would be a really cool thing to like try at, like at your friend's place. Like, let them invest in it and kind of check it out. And then,
yeah,
like,
Tweep in the chat room is asking if we've actually tried it. No, I haven't actually tried it.
I haven't either.
I mean, we could just be totally off, and it could be the next big thing. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm a little leery, as everyone who's been listening to me for the last 3 years knows. I'm leery of anything that I feel might potentially be gimmicky, which is my biggest problem with Nintendo and their motion control-y stuff, or like the Kinect stuff, or I'm trying to think, 3D anything. Mm-hmm. Like, 3D TVs, 3D movies, like stop. So that's, I think, what's kind of making me not get super behind and super excited about Oculus Rift, is that I'm worried that there's going to be things, games put out that could have been fantastic if we'd stuck to traditional gaming, but because we were trying to kind of pander to the next motion control, which in this case is the whole VR thing, That's what has me a little bit worried. So that's my hesitation around the Oculus Rift, is I just hope it's not gimmicky. I hope it's not the next 3D.
I feel with the Oculus Rift, because it's being developed by a separate team, then like Nintendo's issue that you have is that, like you said, they're splitting resources, they're splitting hardware, whereas the hardware isn't going, the cost of the hardware isn't going into the system. It's being split in half. Like half of it's going into an upgraded Wii making it HD, and the other half is going into this tablet controller. Like, that is literally, like, the breakdown of that system. Like, it's half and half. That gamepad is worth almost the same amount as that box you just bought, you know, that's playing your Wii U games. So I think that's different here, is that the Oculus Rift is an add-on. It's a peripheral. It's optional. And there are not many games that are exclusive to it, but there are a lot of games that are enhanced by it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm really looking forward to seeing where it goes. I'm not going to buy, like, the first consumer model, but, like, if it sticks around, might be worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for the phonetic spelling from the chat room again. Where'd it go? Protessilus in the chat room said that I hate peripherals. I don't hate peripherals. I hate gimmicks, and I don't like when games, like, pander to it. You know, I like my gaming experience to be the gaming experience first and make use of hardware second, as opposed to them saying, hey, we can do motion control, or we can do body capture, or, you know, whatever the case may be. How can we build a game around that? I hate that so much.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not that I hate peripherals. Peripherals used properly, that's fine. I don't like games designed around the use of those peripherals. Yeah. So I think that pretty much does it for tonight. If you want to show your TGI pride, you can head on over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com, and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including your favorite podcasts, such as Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent, Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. And we wanted to make sure this week that we thanked, I have to scroll the show notes because they're so huge. Mm-hmm. We wanted to thank Nick C, who is our patron of the week this week. If you would like to be a patron, you get the option to join us for Gamers In Game Night, which happens every Thursday, thanks to generous donations that make us put aside our time and play with you guys every week, which we love. You can go to patreon.com/thegamersin to help us out over there. And we do actually have a giveaway. Ryan, do you want to tell them what we're giving away this week?
Sure, yeah. Andrew was nice enough to send us a code for the tier convention skin, because Smite just had their Hi-Rez just had their Smite World Championship, and I guess Andrew lives close by to Hi-Rez Studios. He was able to attend in person, and he sent us this code. I don't know how we're gonna give it away, but I'm just gonna say it out loud. What we should do is,
I don't know if I want to know now. You're kind of freaking me out.
No, I was going to make a reference to the crit story, but...
No.
Yeah, so I'm going to rub that under the rug. What I want people to do is, for people who are interested in playing Smite, who are currently playing Smite, send us your best Smite story. You know, inspired by Jocelyn doing this tweet, Cupid getting a little frisky,
critted in the butthole,
whatever happened. I wasn't there, so I don't know. Send us your email.
I don't think I was streaming at the time, which is unfortunate because I don't actually have any of the video to go along with that. But
yeah, but
which is great.
Send an email in to info@gamersinpodcast.com with your Smite story. And if you've never played Smite, this code will actually unlock tier for your god selection. And maybe your Smite story is you watching us and just say sand penis over and over again because we're kind of weird. That's also a good story.
Anyone who doesn't watch my stream is not going to get all of these references, and they're just going to think that I'm a terrible person.
Well, no, I'm just joking. We can explain it. Like this,
man.
You should just watch. People watch us play Smite. They know we play Smite. We've told the sand penis story on the show.
Oh, so, I think, yeah, we might have. That's fair enough.
Yeah, and on the Patreon front, February we're going to be making some changes to some levels because we already updated our website, and we're going to have some new levels for you fine folks.
Yeah, so be excited. We actually have a lot of stuff in the works for you guys, a lot of stuff to kind of update our look, and I'm really excited. So stay tuned. And so I think that does it for us for this week. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes will be uploaded this Sunday and can then be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffett. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you would like to tell us what you've been up to in gaming this week, or if you would like to comment on any of the emails we receive from our listeners, you can do so by sending us an email at info@gamersinpodcast.com. And don't forget to send in your Smite stories for that chance at a sweet tear skin. Mm-hmm. So, thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.